We're going to turn now from the president's speech and domestic politics and examine the current situation in Lebanon, where the government has just fallen. I'm speaking with Thanasis Kambanis, who is author of A Privilege to Die, Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel. He was the Boston Globe Middle East bureau chief and is now a freelance journalist writing regularly for the New York Times and other publications. He also teaches journalism and foreign policy at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. And he has an op-ed in today's New York Times called Hezbollah's Latest Suicide Mission. Thank you for joining us here on Background Briefing, Thanasis Kambanis.
Pleasure to be with you.
And in terms of a suicide mission, of course the timing was fairly obvious that the president of Lebanon is visiting the White House, and as it happened, ironically, it was his father who was killed by a bomb, a massive bomb back I think in 2000 in the summer of 2006. And at the same time, while he's meeting with the president, and the United Nations tribunal is closing in on a decision which is alleged to be that Hezbollah was behind the bombing, Hezbollah pulls the plug on the government. You have written about this, but does this mean civil war, or is this just as kind of a bluff?
Well, the way I would call it more a hostage taking than a suicide mission. In this case, Hezbollah has taken the Lebanese state hostage. And what they're saying is, or if you want another violent metaphor, you could say they're putting a gun to the head of the Lebanese state. Either way, they're saying if this tribunal goes forward, we will destroy the state of Lebanon and make sure none of our fighters are invited and put on trial. And they're giving a pretty clear choice. It's an unpleasant choice, but it's a clear choice. They're saying, back down, and we'll allow the fiction of the Lebanese state to continue, and we'll continue collaborating with Saad Hariri, the son of the murdered prime minister. And you're right in identifying this as in some ways an incremental step, because we're still a long way from civil war. Most recently, in May 2008, Hezbollah actually invaded Sunni West Beirut for one day in order to show how far they were willing to go in order to achieve their political aims. And even then, they held back from an all out war because they don't want to destroy what they governed if they don't have to.
Well, this showdown. Exercised or that shows Hezbollah's muscle. I mean, everybody that I talk to that's been to Beirut recently or to Lebanon recently say it's pretty clear that Hezbollah runs the place. It was preceded by an attempt to broker a deal between Saudi Arabia and Syria, trying to strike some kind of compromise. But it really comes down to whether or not Hariri's son, the current president, can stomach the idea of letting his father's killers off the hook. And if he does so, he will have no credibility.
Yeah, and this is Lebanon, right, where people are always willing to compromise to some extent. And the real question is always how much. So Rafik Hariri was murdered in 2005, almost 5.5 years ago. His son is now the prime minister, and he has actually already signaled a willingness to back down on this, right? I mean, the question of pursuing his father's killers, this sort of Oedipal drama, is already tainted by the fact that he's signaled that he was willing to accept some small fry. I mean, he met with Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, and he said, in a meeting whose details were then revealed and haven't been disputed, he said, if you're willing to let a few low-level operatives be fingered for this crime, I will stop short of accusing Hezbollah as a party of being behind it. And Hezbollah said, no, we won't take that deal. We won't even give up the lowest-level street lieutenant to this. We'll fight you tooth and nail. And the other complicating factor is Hezbollah is the dominant player in Lebanon, but they don't control everything. They control the Shia areas, and they're by far the strongest party, but they don't control the Christian areas, the Sunni areas, so it's always a very delicate balancing act because we don't know exactly how strong they are beyond their own areas.
But again, I'm speaking with Thanasi Kambanis, the author of A Privilege to Die Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel. And he also has an op-ed in the New York Times called Hezbollah's Latest Suicide Mission. Hezbollah basically says to the Arab, because they, as your article points out, they present themselves as the true sole protectors of Arab dignity from the humiliations of Israel and the United States. And they continually, as they've done today, and they will do tomorrow, saying that that Hariri and company are tools of Washington. He was, after all, in Washington when they pulled the plug. Now he's visiting with Sarkozy in France, the former colonial master. On the other side, the more secular and Sunni Lebanese say that Hezbollah are tools of Iran and Syria. So in this kind of standoff, is there any kind of sectarian flexibility here in terms of people's hearts and minds? I mean, can't they see the obvious? I mean, or are they so polarized?
Well, they're polarized politically. Now, on the sectarian front, there's room for hope. I mean, Hezbollah, they're the Islamic resistance. They're sworn to the perpetual war against Israel. Their biggest allies are a Christian party. They have the biggest Druze party on their side, and they have some small Sunni parties on their side as well. So they make a passably credible case of being a sort of unified cross-sectarian coalition against Israel and against the West. And I think if there's a silver lining to be had, it's that they will they'll appeal to Lebanese nationalism and to some kind of hey, if we can agree on one thing, it's that we all hate Israel, and then maybe even Hariri will find a political solution in that, in which he'll say, you know what, my father's real killers were in Syria anyway, so it doesn't matter who pulled the trigger, and since the political guilty parties aren't going to be held responsible, I too can live with some kind of unseemly, dirty compromise, and then we can all sort of go back to being sort of vociferous Lebanese nationalists.
But why, if the findings that have been leaked are correct, and that the UN tribunal will, assuming that Hariri, the current president, doesn't make a compromise and somehow bag the information, what was the motive of doing it in the first place? Why?
I'm not satisfied with the explanations I've heard so far, because even if Hezbollah operatives pulled the trigger or put together the bombing, so to speak, it doesn't really make sense. They don't have a great motive. I mean, Rafiq Hariri was a good, decent supporter of Hezbollah. I mean, he never stood in Hezbollah's way directly, and so it doesn't really make sense that they would try to kill him. Now, the only explanation I've heard that makes sense is that Syria wanted Hariri dead, and they pressured Hezbollah to because the Hezbollah had the technical capacity to pull it off, that they pressured Hezbollah to do it. I don't know that to be a fact. That's the only one of the many theories I've heard that even makes the remotest sense. The real motive lies with Syria's leadership. So the only party that has an obvious motive, and now, of course, people in Hezbollah point to Israel and say Israel has a motive to destabilize Lebanon. But that strains credulity, because if, let's just entertain the idea, if Israel were behind this, why would they only kill people on one side of the political divide? And every one of the assassinations that began in 2005 was from the anti-Syrian pro-March 14th coalition. Mm.
Well, there is, I believe, in this mix the possibility that the Michel Aoun, the Christian leader who is supporting Hezbollah, that he's making a run for Hariri's job. So
He doesn't want Hariri's job. He wants to be the president.
The president, I mean.
He wants Suleiman's job.
Yeah, that's right. He wants the president's job. Well, look, let's not even go there, given the Byzantine politics of Lebanon. But thank you for joining us here for your piece today in the New York Times, which I found very interesting, Hezbollah's Latest Suicide Mission, and for your book, Thanasi Kambanis, A Privilege to Die, Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel.
Great to talk to you.
Bye-bye. And hello again, I'm Ian Massa, just speaking there with Thanasis Kambanis, who's the author of the book that I just mentioned. He has an article in the New York Times. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing, engineer Ray Palias, and I'll be back on Sunday with another background briefing at 11 a.m. on Sunday. And until then, have a very pleasant couple of days and be better, as the president says.